were
Mary and Joseph
picked out by the Lord. Why did he choose these two people to help raising of the child Jesus? In Matthew chapter 1, verse 19, then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. Let's pray. Dear Jesus, we just ask, we open up your Holy Scriptures tonight, that you'll strengthen us, teach us, encourage us, challenge us, and let us see what it is to be set aside for God. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. This verse tells us a lot about Joseph. Now, Joseph was his legal father, as far as the courts and things go, but God was Jesus' real father. It says he was a just man. That means a man that lives by the law. A man that lives his life justified. He was a very good Jew. And he lived by the law and he kept the law. And he wanted to do what the law said. Well, you see, she was with child and not married. Now, adultery has always been considered a terrible crime. Now, she wasn't. But in Egypt, it says they used to cut off the nose of the adulteress. In Persia, the nose and the ears were both cut off. And in Judea, they were stoned to death by the law in Leviticus. But you see, he loved her very much. So he wanted to keep it quiet. He wanted to keep it simple. He didn't want everybody to know about it. He wasn't interested in shaming her. He wasn't interested in embarrassing her. And he definitely didn't want her to be stoned to death. He still loved her. But according to the law, he could not marry her because she was already with child. But as we all know the story, she was a virgin. She had been honorable. She had been true to her espoused husband, to the husband that she was engaged to marry. Now, espousal in those days, as you know, was almost just as binding as a real marriage. And they were set aside and they were espoused. They were basically engaged, was going to be married. He was very obedient to the Lord. In Matthew 1:24, the angel of the Lord, the same angel that came to Mary, comes to him and tells him, don't worry. What is of her is from God. It is of the Holy Ghost. You're going to call his name Jesus. He tells him, the angel quotes scripture in verse 22. Behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. In Isaiah 7:14, that's where that comes from. Now, in verse 24, then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bid him, and took unto him his wife, not knowing her till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and called his name Jesus. He was an obedient man to what God told him to do. He was a just man. He was a loving man. And he was an obedient man. Even if he didn't maybe understand everything, even if it maybe went against what his training had been, he did what God told him to do without question. He was obedient to the commands of God. He was even obedient after the child was born. And they had to flee to Egypt because Herod was going to kill the baby. He could have said, well, this isn't even my child. Why should I go all the way down to Egypt or something like that? But the angel told him, he had a dream, and he says, I want you to go to Egypt. He was obedient to go to Egypt. Him took the young child and the mother, and they fled to Egypt. They parted by night. If you remember, the next thing we have about Jesus is when he was 12 years old and he went to the temple. The reason they went to the temple? To observe the Passover. Every year he was faithful in his service to God. Every year his family went to Jerusalem to observe the Passover. He was faithful in his service to God. He was faithful to her. He was faithful in his love. He was obedient to God. He was one that was picked out by God. Because God knew he was a just man, God knew he was a loving man, and God knew he was an obedient man, and God could trust him. That's why Joseph was picked out. There's another reason he was picked out, because of his lineage, his family tree, who he was. In Luke, we have the account of this. In Luke 2:4, and Joseph went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth unto Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David. It also says it in Matthew 1:1. Several places it says who he was. In Matthew 1:6, it talks about it. In Matthew 1:16, it talks about it. He was of the proper lineage. In other words, because he was going to be Jesus' legal father, he could trace his family tree all the way back through King David. Because Jesus had to be the rightful heir to the throne of Jerusalem. So he had to be heir to David. God promised David that from your seed, that there's always going to be somebody from your seed on the throne. That hasn't happened yet, but it will happen as Jesus comes in. Why was Mary picked out? Was she a spouse to Joseph, for one thing. And her lineage is through David also. But look in Luke chapter 1, as the angel spoke to Mary. In Luke chapter 1, verse 38, as the angel came and spoke to Mary. He asked her, how is this going to be? What's going to happen? The Holy Ghost is going to overshadow you from the highest. He's going to be you're going to have the Son of God. Verse 37 of Luke 1, for with God nothing shall be impossible. And verse 38, and Mary said, behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. She was submissive to the Lord's will in her life. Even if it doesn't make sense, even if she didn't understand it all, she was obedient and submissive to him. In Luke 1:27, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. She was kept herself pure for her husband. She was faithful to her husband. She was faithful to her espoused husband. She was faithful all the way through. She could be trusted. Look in Luke 1:48. As she talked to Elizabeth. Look at verse 46. And Mary said, my soul doth magnify the Lord. And my soul hath rejoiced in the God, my Savior. He's her Savior too. She's not a Savior. It's another lesson though. Okay. Verse 48. For he hath regarded the low estate of thy handmaiden. For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. She was not proud. She was not boastful. she was humble. The low estate of his handmaiden. She was a servant to the Lord. And she was humble because of it. She says in verse 46, my soul does magnify the Lord. Verse 47, God my Savior. Verse 49, for he that is mighty hath done to me great things. Holy is his name. She had respect for God. She gave God the glory. She did not think of herself anything special. She was among women picked out. But she wasn't above women. And she, even though all of this happened in her life, she stayed humble. Many references in the Bible, she pondered these things. She thought upon these things. They kept them in their heart. Many times you look through their early life and all the things that they thought about. In Luke chapter 2, verse 7, she was a good mama. She took care of him. She brought forth her firstborn, there, son. She had other children. And wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. No matter what her conditions were, no matter what her living conditions were, no matter where she was at, she did the best she had with what she had. And she took care of him. And she gave him a comfortable place. And she took care of this precious Jesus that she held in her arms. One of the next things we have in John chapter 2 is at the wedding feast. And they'd run out of the good grape juice. And in John chapter 2, verse 3, when they wanted wine, the mother of Jesus said to him, they had no wine. Jesus said to her, woman, what hath I to do thee? My hour is not yet come. His mother said unto his servants, whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. She trusted Jesus. She believed in him. And she had learned, he's about 30 years old now. And she knew who he was. And she says, whatever Jesus says, you do. She believed her son. And she put her faith in her son. She loved her son dearly. It says in John, she stood by the cross. There stood by the cross of Jesus, his mother. She stood there at the cross and watched her son die. As a prophet told her, a sword will pierce your own heart. As she watched her son die that day on Calvary. Mary and Joseph were faithful all of the time. As I was thinking about this and looking at this and reading about this and meditating on these things, the only time, other than when Joseph had that dream after the birth of Jesus, 2 years approximately after the birth of Jesus, the only communications they had with God was through Gabriel the angel. As he came to Mary and as he came to Joseph and told them what was going to happen. As far as we can find anywhere, there is no other communications with Mary and Joseph through this time. They were in Nazareth, which is up just kind of southwest of the Sea of Galilee. They were up in that area. They had to go down to Bethlehem, which is south of Jerusalem, to be taxed and censored and counted. And they went down there. They didn't. I have no account of them questioning God. It says, God, my wife is ready to deliver. Why are we making this long trek down through here? Why do we have to go all the way down here? Why, there's nothing about that in the scriptures. They went. This was part of God's plan because he was supposed to be born in Bethlehem, the house of bread, to fulfill prophecy. But they went because they was following along. God had this plan going. They didn't know that. They just knew they had to go because that was the law and they was under the Romans and they had to go. But they went. We didn't have anyone come along there and saying, "It's okay, Mary. It's okay, Joseph. Remember, God's with you. All things are possible with God." They didn't have anybody telling them that. And they said, "Don't worry about it. We know that the Romans are cruel and we know that you're under the Roman government. We know the government's not that good. But don't worry about it. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Everything's going to be okay." They didn't have anybody telling them that. But they did it. They did it because it was real to them. And God was real to them. And they were faithful before that time. They didn't start becoming faithful after the Gabriel talked to them. They were already faithful. They were already obedient. He was already a just man. They were already following God. And God chose them because he could trust them. And knew that they would stay faithful through the hard times. They get to Bethlehem. They can't find any place for them. I don't know how long they looked for a place. They couldn't find anywhere to stay. And they didn't say, "God, what have you got me out here for? Why did you bring me to Bethlehem? What are we going to do with my wife? She's pregnant. She's going to have a baby. What are we doing out here, God? Where am I going to take her? What am I going to do with her? Where am I going to take her? There's no hospitals. There's no doctors. There's nothing here. What are we going to do, God? We don't have any of that." Why? Because they were faithful. And they trusted God. And they knew they were in the will of God. "God, look at this barn. This stable. All these old stinky animals and all that stuff. God, what are you doing? This is my precious wife here I love. Why are we here, God?" We don't have any of that, do we? Why? Because they were faithful. They trusted God. And he knew he was leading them by the hand. The next thing that they have is when the shepherds come. And the shepherds tell them what they've seen. The shepherds told them what they saw. The shepherds tell them the message that they heard from God. The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Nobody was there. Name wasn't put in the Bethlehem Times or anything else that this new child was born to these parents. No blue ribbons out in the front yard. No balloons. None of that stuff. Just some scrap clothes to wrap the baby in. Some warm straw. Till the shepherds come and they worship Jesus. They worship this baby. And Mary and Joseph think about these things, meditate on these things. I don't know why they didn't go back to Nazareth after all that was done. 8 days he's circumcised under the law and officially named Jesus. After her days of purification for having a male child of 40 days, they went to Jerusalem and offered an offering of 2 turtle doves or 2 pigeons. Poor man's offering, because she had a male child and she was unclean and she had to make a sacrifice at the temple in Jerusalem. And the prophet, she hears the prophecy of God then. Well, they go back to Bethlehem. They're there approximately 2 years or so when the wise men show up. And they open up their treasures and present their treasures of gold. I don't know how much gold, but I'm sure it was a handful or a box or a few pounds or something. Frankincense comes from the gum of a tree. Most of these came from trees. It was the spice they used to mix with the incense as they worshiped God in the Old Testament. The myrrh was a bitter tasting, but a good smelling. And they offered that, and that was used for embalming people and covering up the bodies. Very expensive spices. You remember the lady and a couple of ladies in the Bible opened up their alabaster, broke their alabaster box and gave them a life's worth of savings. People saved so they could have some incense to put on their body when they die. I asked several people, what happened to the gold, frankincense, and myrrh? Jesus was anointed by the women of other things. Joseph of Arimathea, he put his own spices on them. Didn't use any of that stuff at his burial. What happened to that? What happened to the gold? What happened to the frankincense? What happened to that myrrh? I mean, those are very expensive things. Someone said they used it to live off of in Egypt. Could very well be. Could very well be. He was a carpenter. I know that. You see, and I thought about that. And I was talking to another pastor about this. And I said, we both said the same thing at the same time. God provides. God provides. He knew they were going to have to be in Egypt till Herod died, which is in 4 A.D., I think it was, when Herod died? 4 B.C., anyway, back in there. When they had to stay in Egypt till he died. They were a poor family. That's why they offered the turtle doves or the two pigeons for the sacrifice, because that was a poor man's offering. God provided. It was God's plan, as prophecy, they went down to Egypt. It was God's plan that they left Nazareth and come to Bethlehem. It was God's plan that where Jesus was born. It was God's plan they went down into Egypt and God took care of them the whole time. And when they left Egypt, he went all the way back up to Nazareth in the northern part of Israel. And was probably still a carpenter there. But they had to pack up and he had to leave his business in Nazareth to go to Bethlehem. Maybe he made a little bit there. Maybe he worked a little bit in Bethlehem. Maybe he had a little bit of savings. I don't know. But when they had to go down to Egypt, another land, another country, another place, God always provided for them. God always took care of them. Why did God pick out Mary and Joseph? Because they were faithful. Because they could be trusted. Because they could be used of the Lord. They were obedient to whatever God wanted them to do. Even if they didn't understand it all, they were obedient. You see, that's the kind of people God can use. And you say, well, when I figure out what God wants me to do, then I'll be obedient. No. He's not going to pick you till you are. Oh, he's got you picked. He's got some things he wants you to do. He's got some plans in your life. But until you prove yourself, he's not going to trust you with them. They didn't start becoming faithful after they saw the angel. They were faithful before they saw the angel. That's the way you need to be in your life. If you want to be used of God, then you need to be faithful. You need to put God first in your life. And then follow wherever He goes. Even if it doesn't make sense. If you know it's what God's doing, you know what God's leading you, it's not contrary to the Word of God, He's never going to tell you to do something that's contrary to the Word of God, then you do it. and don't question God. You just do it. Mary says, well, how can this be? I don't know a man. Because it was a miracle. It's a miracle. Can't be explained. I was talking to a nurse one time at one of the nursing homes. He says, well, I just can't buy that. It doesn't make sense. I says, well, that's why it's a miracle. It's not supposed to make sense. It's a miracle. You know, only God can do miracles. If it can be explained away by something else, then it's not a miracle. The only time in history that ever took place, the only time in history that will ever take place, because he said it was a sign. It was a sign, Isaiah said. You won't take my sign. You won't ask for a sign from me. But I'm going to give you one, he told him in Isaiah. And that sign has been fulfilled. Somebody was asking me about the Jews. There's two groups of Jews. One group that believes that Christ has come and he's their Messiah. The other group that says he hadn't got here yet. They're both Jews. One group saved, one group's not saved. They're still Jews. And they're still God's chosen people. They're waiting. They're waiting. Our challenge. We're coming into a new year. We always have New Year's resolutions. I'm going to start doing this. I'm going to start doing that. Yeah, all that stuff. What are you going to vow to God? What are you going to give God? What are you going to lay down for God? And you be faithful. And you be patient. And you wait on the Lord. And He'll take care of you. Let's stand to our feet. We're going to have a time of invitation. God's laid something on you that He wants you to do or get right. Dear Jesus, we ask that You'll help us with this, that You'll take this time, that Your Spirit will take charge, that You'll guide and direct our paths, and show us what You want us to do for You. And as always, if there's one here that's not saved, that today will be their day. We ask for these things in the name of our precious Lord and Savior, Jesus.